Rockins. The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
I gotta say, I was very surprised by this
because
you have these allegations from 36 years ago. I wasn't quite expecting. I had my own preconceived notions about what I thought was going to be the testimony this morning and about the character of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. Those preconceptions evaporated within the first 10 seconds of her sitting down there. And from that point forward, she was not only a compelling witness, but you felt for her. You started to experience with her. And she was not polished. This was not a performance. This was, you were watching a raw human being who clearly had experienced something in her youth that had broken her.
And she decided to write the letter herself, it was revealed, the one that she was eventually ended up in Senator Feinstein's hand. She didn't have help with that. She came forward at a time when Brett was just one of a number of candidates being considered, and she said she came forward on her own for that as well. It didn't seem that this whole thing was as coordinated at the beginning as it ended up maybe being later as a political attack.
She was nervous and real and raw. And Illinois Senator Dick Durbin asked her this question after this is about an hour into her testimony. And her testimony was, again, very, very, very real.
Last night, the Republican staff of this committee released to the media a timeline that shows that they've interviewed two people who claimed they were the ones who actually assaulted you. I'm asking you to address this new defense of mistaken identity directly. Dr. Ford, with what degree of certainty do you believe Brett Kavanaugh assaulted you?
100%.
That was a powerful moment, because for her to say it in that way, I think it struck a lot of us as she believes this guy did this to her and has lived with it ever since for 36 years.
And it was memorable to her. I mean, the thing that was most memorable is when he put his hand, she says he put his hand on her mouth, and she said, I think he may mistakenly try to kill me here.
Yeah. One of the things that I think that this shows is just believe him, believe her, whatever. Maybe you haven't made up your mind or you're not sure. But I think it shines a light on that a victim of a situation like this might remember circumstances that don't seem memorable to everybody else. That this will come stay with her for a very long time.
Well, the whole thing wouldn't
necessarily for someone else, because to them it wasn't a meaningful moment.
And it lasted a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't think it was, I mean, you could sort of see how, if it did happen, maybe if he had been drinking, maybe doesn't remember it.
All right. This is the moment that Anna just mentioned about how she feared for her life at one point.
I tried to yell for help. When I did, Brett put his hand over my mouth to stop me from yelling. This is what terrified me the most and has had the most lasting impact on my life. It was hard for me to breathe, and I thought that Brett was accidentally going to kill me.
And if anybody's ever been swimming and you think you're going to drown, that's a memorable event.
Yeah.
This is memorable.
Right. And again, this is and that explains the context of this is really something.
Right.
And she set up a context. And I think people who watched it this morning, including a lot of Republicans and a lot of my friends who are Republicans I spoke to right after this, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah, she
this
was.
Is I did not anticipate. I believe that obviously there's a lot of politics being played here.
For sure.
And so I was my preconception of this was that this is going to be not necessarily a political operative, but it's going to be, you know, somebody's going to come forward that someone else has found.
Right. Her testimony seemed not at all political.
It seemed
real.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was surprised by that. So I thought it was over. As a matter of fact, I was talking to people on Capitol Hill. I was talking to people here. I was talking to people that you know, afterwards, in between the two sessions, between her testimony this morning and his testimony this afternoon, The Republicans are like, he shouldn't even show up. Yeah. He should not even
it's
show
over.
Up. Yeah.
What's he going to do? Yeah. But, you know, I also thought that the idea to have Mitchell, I keep forgetting her name, the woman who was the prosecutor who questioned her in those 5-minute intervals, was really ineffective in a lot of ways, because it seemed as if she's used to a courtroom situation where she has a long amount of time in order to prove a point. And I felt like she was lacking.
She was mostly there because she's a woman, and there was no women on Republican side. So they wanted to call somebody unlike Anita Hill.
Right. And it was ineffective. And she was getting blasted on Twitter by conservatives. You know, no, why aren't you doing a good job? You're not doing a good job. You're not doing a good job.
She was doing her job.
Yeah, her job was not to
attack.
Well,
that's the whole point. The women, the political optics of this are that women are already very suspicious of Donald Trump. And so to have a bunch of old, flatulent white guys go, nah, listen, little lady, why are y'all coming here making up all lies about man folk? Yeah. You know, that would be bad, right? That was the whole idea.
Well, right.
But then Kavanaugh stepped up. He makes it to
number four.
He stepped up and he opened up very, very, also very compelling, very emotional, very strong.
This is a circus. The consequences will extend long past my nomination. The consequences will be with us for decades. This grotesque and coordinated character assassination will dissuade competent and good people of all political persuasions from serving our country. And as we all know, in the United States political system of the early 2000s, what goes around comes around.
Which is ironic, because it's already come around to him. He was part of the he was one of the lawyers who was digging up dirt on the Clintons.
Right.
Ken Starr.
During the impeachment hearings.
He worked on the Ken Starr, that's right.
Yeah. So it did come back around for him, and it will come back around. This is all we've turned into. Since the impeachment of Bill Clinton, that Washington has just been doing this over and over and over again. And he said he was not going to give up the fight, and he didn't.
I will not be intimidated into withdrawing from this process. You've tried hard. You've given it your all. No one can question your effort. But your coordinated and well-funded effort to destroy my good name and destroy my family will not drive me out. The vile threats of violence against my family will not drive me out. You may defeat me in the final vote, but you'll never get me to quit. Never.
So who's he talking about there? Is he talking about Democrats?
Because
the Democrats aren't, I mean, the Democrats are threatening violence to him? I mean, the Democrats
there's violence being threatened. It doesn't matter. There's violence threatened on social media.
Yeah, I know, but it's not the Democrats. It's whoever it is. It's not the senators. Certainly, he's
arguing that the Senate. The whole idea here is that the behind the scenes argument is that you've got the Republicans who are just trying to get him through quickly, and they just want to, you know, this is just for Trump. And then the Democrats that knew about this particular accusation, they've known about this woman since July, and they were holding it until the very last minute to try to slow up the nomination so they can get it pushed past the primaries. But then Senator Lindsey Graham jumped up in the middle of all of this and said,
"This is not a job interview.
Yeah.
This is hell.
This
is going to destroy the ability of good people to come forward because of this crap. Your high school yearbook. You have interacted with professional women all your life, not one accusation. You're supposed to be Bill Cosby when you're a junior and senior in high school. And all of a sudden you got over it. It's been my understanding that if you drug women and rape them for 2 years in high school, you probably don't stop."
So I'm just saying, as a witness, I don't think it was smart for Judge Kavanaugh to attack in the way he attacked, making it sound political. I think as a witness, he's there to defend himself. I understand that. But attacking the other side, I think and I'm not sure who wrote that statement. Obviously, maybe
Kavanaugh's opening statement?
He said he wrote it himself.
I know what he said, but I'm sure that the president's counsel at something to say. You know, the
Don
president,
McGahn,
Don McGahn, who was there, yeah. And Don McGahn, who's been supporting him hard, very much the whole time.
Just quickly, Senate Judiciary Committee has announced they will, in fact, vote tomorrow morning on the Kavanaugh confirmation, the first step then before it would appear before
they clearly
the
have the
Senate.
Votes. Yeah. He saved his own job today. He
Must
saved
be
that.
True.
He saved his own nomination.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much the saving was necessary. Because I think the Republicans were going to vote the way they were going to vote.
I don't think so. After this morning, I disagree with you. After this morning, had he not been strong, had he backed up, had he even given an inch on that? Well, I don't know. Maybe I would have. It would have been over. He didn't. Coming off of this morning's testimony, I didn't think there was a. I didn't think he had a chance. He had a snowflake's chance in hell after this morning,
we'll see
and he went and he changed, and then he won this thing back this afternoon.
I mean, you may be right, but we'll see what the two Republican women in the Senate have to say.
Murkowski and Collins.
Well, we'll see also what the next 12 hours are going to be like in terms of coverage and showing more of her compelling testimony. He had the advantage of being seen this afternoon where more people could see him this morning. When they replay some of her testimony, the debate will go on, which is a debate that we're going to have in just a few minutes here. But first, we got to get to your three, your two, and your one. Violetta, get us home on the roads.
Well, we're seeing some delays right now near Allstate Arena ahead of Disney on Ice, which the show starts at 7.
Oh, my God, that's back?
Yeah, yes, it's back.
The final weekend of the season is starting early. It's game one of a day-night doubleheader in Minnesota. White Sox Twins, Friday at 1 on WGN-TV Sports.
Making up the snow weekend from April. Yeah, that's what's going on there. That was so crazy. All right, top 5 at 5, even though it's at 6, continues.
Number 3.
In other news... The Jason Van Dyke trial was going on at the Layton Criminal Courts building today, and the first witness to take the stand told jurors about a young man that she found sitting outdoor steps of her home when she came home from a party. They crossed paths in the early hours of October 20th, 2014, the day where all of this happened. Yvette Patterson says she called 911 after this person, who she thinks was Laquan McDonald, approached her and began asking her about her car. She said she asked him, "What do you want to do with my car?" She said that the person said, "I just want to use it," and promised to bring it right back. She said she wound up laughing and talking to him, but she said, "Hey, listen, you cannot use my car."
He didn't fear me because of the conversation we had. He seemed like, you know, he was a nice young guy or whatever.
Okay.
But, you know, still, I wanted to be protected to go in my house.
Yeah, so she wasn't.
And she called 911.
Yes.
So I don't know how nice she thought he was that night.
She talked him down is essentially what happened there.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe.
That's what it seems like.
Maybe it seems like she just called the police.
Well, she did do that. She also, jurors also heard from a retired Chicago police officer who worked as a firearms instructor about the training that Jason Van Dyke would have received. This is Nick Pappas. He gave testimony regarding how Van Dyke and other officers were taught to use and apply deadly force.
When an assailant is on the ground, is he still considered a threat?
Certainly can be, yes.
Why?
Because they could get up and reattack. A slide lock, the weapon should be immediately reloaded. They were trained and drilled on that from the very beginning. To stand there with an empty weapon is to invite a big problem.
Now, Mike, I know you were watching this today. This is a good day for the prosecution or the defense?
The defense had a good day today, yeah. Because these witnesses testified that it was, first of all, that they're taught to shoot as fast as they can, and they're taught to reload. So it was not evidence of his intention to murder Mr. McDonald that caused him to reload right away. It wasn't malice. It was the fact that that's what they were taught to do, according to them today.
All right, there's your update on that. Checking in now.
Number two.
All right, and this takes us in a totally different direction here for a moment.
I think we need that.
I don't know if we do.
Thank you.
Barbara Streisand.
Oh,
Barbara Streisand has a new song out, very political. It's called Don't Lie to Me. Now, she did not want, she said when she was writing Don't Lie to Me, she was thinking about Donald Trump, but she didn't want to mention Donald Trump. She wanted to be sort of an everlasting, evergreen, pardon the expression, song that she didn't, you know, that would stand the test of time. Wasn't just going to be in the political zeitgeist, but that did not work out.
Why can't you just tell me the truth? hard to believe the things you say. Why can't you feel the tears I cry today, cry today, cry today? How do you win if we all lose? You change the facts to justify. Your lips move, but your words get in the way, in the way, in the way. Kings and queens, crooks and thieves, you don't see the forest for the trees. Head and heart on our knees, you can't see what we all see.
Okay.
She wanted that to be subtle.
Yeah, it wants to be a subtle reference.
Might as well be saying Trump.
The political Trump. Moments of the
day. Imagine, not subtle.
I don't know if they still do videos for things like that, and I don't know if Streisand does, but. But I gotta, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a lot of orange hair in that video.
That would be a funny video.
Yeah.
One of those floating blimps or something.
All right. And then this breaking news that Anna just told us about a couple of minutes ago makes it to. What a day.
Number one.
Well, it turns out the Senate now is going to vote. Mm-hmm. And the reason that they are going to vote tomorrow, the Senate
Judiciary Committee
is going to vote to move the Kavanaugh confirmation to the full Senate or not. But their only reason that they're going to vote tomorrow is that they know that they have the votes.
That's right. Because regardless of how the vote goes, Senator Mitch McConnell can still call it to the fourth floor vote.
Right.
As early as Saturday, but
yes.
They don't think that it would actually get the full vote from the full Senate until Monday or Tuesday.
The key in the committee was Jeff Flake. Jeff Flake tipped his hand in the last moments of the testimony today.
This is not a good process, but it's all we've got. And I would just urge my colleagues to recognize that in the end, we are 21 very imperfect senators trying to do our best to provide advice and consent. And in the end, there is likely to be as much doubt as certainty going out of this room today. And that as we make decisions going forward, I hope that people will recognize that. And in the rhetoric that we use and the language that we use going forward, that we'll recognize that, that there is doubt. We'll never move beyond that. And just have a little humility on that front.
That's your day in a nutshell right there.
The top five at five.